There is a word tonight that speaks to our hearts, and I want to call your attention to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32. Praise God for the presence of my parents on tonight. Amen. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse number 22. Genesis 32, beginning at verse number 22. If you don't mind and you are able tonight, why don't we stand to our feet for the reading of God's holy word. Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse number 22. When you have it, would you say amen? Amen. Hear now the word of God, as it may read slightly different than the translation and version that you may have. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. Let the church say, alone. Alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Amen. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. You may be seated. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I want to talk for just a little while from the thought tonight, simply, the blessing in the limp. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, yeah, there is a blessing in your limp. Turn to the other side. Make sure you don't leave anybody out. Look them straight in the face and say, neighbor, I need you to know tonight that there is a blessing in your limp. Now, the person on your left and right may not have a limp, so just look at somebody behind you and say, neighbor, just in case, you need to know there's a blessing in your limb. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Every time I turn around, the Lord is blessing me. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. I don't deserve it, but it keeps right on blessing me. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. Every time I turn around, the Lord is blessing me. Every time I turn around, he's blessing me. I don't deserve it, but it keeps right on
blessing me. Just this morning, He blessed me. Just this morning, the Lord, He blessed me. Just this morning, He blessed me. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it, but the key's right on. Blessing me every time I wave my hand. Is that anybody's testimony? He blessed me every time I wave my hand. The Lord keeps on blessing me every time I wave my hand. He blessed me. Hallelujah. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. Hallelujah. I know I don't deserve it. But it keeps right on blessing me.
Gracious God, our Father, how we love you and how we thank you. For indeed, God, you're worthy of all of our praise. We ask even now, God, that you would center our hearts, our thoughts, and our minds, that we might be receptive to your will, to your word, and to your way. God, our prayer tonight is simply that you would speak to us with your clarion voice, that you would use this, your servant, as an instrument of thy peace, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And the people of God together said amen, amen and amen. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. The blessing in the lamp. The blessing in the lamp. My brothers and sisters, if your childhood was anything like mine, then chances are it was not uncommon for you to be found on many nights during the course of a given week in the house of the Lord. Do I have a witness? My brothers and sisters, if your childhood was like mine and you grew up in a home with God-fearing parents, with people who were on fire for God, it was not uncommon for you perhaps to find yourself multiple nights during a given week doing something in the house of God. Whether it was for a meeting or Bible study or choir rehearsal of my own or ministry activity of someone else, it was not uncommon, do I have a witness, for me to find myself in the house of the Lord multiple nights during the course of 1 week. Several nights a week, my brothers and sisters, I would find myself at the Salem Baptist Church located at 50 Clinton and Madison Avenues in Jersey City, New Jersey, where the late Reverend Dr. H. Hudson Bobbitt served as pastor. And it was during those many midweek experiences at the Salem Baptist Church, located at 50 Clinton and Madison Avenues in Jersey City, New Jersey, just in case you don't remember, where the late Reverend Dr. H. Hudson Bobbitt served as pastor, that I met and became acquainted with a gentleman who was described and defined as the evening doorkeeper. Chances are, my brothers and sisters, you knew somebody who was the evening doorkeeper, or in some cases, they were referred to as the evening sexton. Do I have a witness? Mr. Primus Smith, I shall never forget as long as I live. Mr. Primus Smith was his name. He was the evening doorkeeper at the Salem Baptist Church in Jersey City, located at 50 Clinton and Madison Avenues, where the late Reverend Dr. H. Hudson Bobbitt served as pastor. Mr. Primus Smith, this evening doorkeeper, was a tall and statuesque brother. Mr. Primus Smith not only was a tall and statuesque brother, but Mr. Primus Smith was a man that had salt and pepper wavy hair. And not only was he tall, statuesque, not only did he have salt and pepper, wavy hair, but Mr. Primus Smith was strong in his tone, but as some would describe, mild in his demeanor. In other words, Mr. Primus Smith was a force to be reckoned with. Mr. Primus Smith every night would find himself as serving as the evening doorkeeper at the Salem Baptist Church located at 50 Clinton and Madison Avenues in Jersey City, New Jersey, where the late Reverend Dr. H. Hudson Bobbitt served as pastor. He would find himself serving as the evening doorkeeper, and he knew how to keep things in order at the Salem Baptist Church. However, the unique factor about Mr. Primus Smith was not necessarily his tall height. The unique and significant factor about Mr. Primus Smith was not necessarily, not only his height, was not necessarily his salt and pepper wavy hair. It was not necessarily his tone. It was not necessarily his unique build and physique, but rather it was his extremely noticeable limp. Let the church say he had a limp. It was not his height, it was not his hair that caught my attention. It was not his height, it was not his hair that makes me remember him even today, nearly 20 years later, but rather it was his extremely noticeable limp. I could not help, Pastor Jackson, but to ask on an occasion, how and where did he get this particular limp from? He began to explain to me that he had spent several years serving in the army, and not only had he spent several years serving in the army, but that he had survived an enemy's attack. As a consequence of him serving and many years in the army and having survived the enemy's attack, he explained that the limp was the result of some injuries that had been occurred and sustained during that particular enemy attack. He went on to explain, my brothers and sisters, that while some people who would look at him now would simply laugh at him because of his limp, he went on to explain that there would be some people who would not only look at him and laugh, but there would be others that would stare and point fingers at him and make a mockery out of him. There would be some that would look and laugh. There would be others that would point their fingers at him. And then there would also be some that would talk about him. But he went on to say that he was grateful for the limp because, after all, when he considered the alternative, he had to give God some praise. Because, my brothers and sisters, on that particular day, as he is reminiscing and sharing with me the events that took place that caused him to have this extremely noticeable limp in his life, he went on to say that he was grateful for the limp because the truth of the matter is that enemy's attack could have taken his life. He went on to say, that's why, my brothers and sisters, he does not mind giving God praise. That's why he does not mind people looking at him and laughing at him. He did not mind people pointing fingers at him. He did not mind people talking about him, because after all, when he considered what the other option could have been, he could not help but to pause and thank God and to lift his holy hands and to express his thanksgiving unto God, because he could have lost his life. And all I'm simply trying to suggest, my brothers and sisters, to those of us who've come out to experience this week of revival, is that I have learned that the enemy's attack will cause you and I to have some limps in our lives. I've come to tell you tonight that the enemy's attack will not only cause us to have some limps in our lives, but some trials and tribulations that you and I will have to face in this thing called life and living will cause us to have and to deal with some limps in our lives. Now, I realize that some of you are looking at me crazy tonight, and you're suggesting to yourself that you've never been on a battlefield, you've never served in the army, you've never served in any armed forces. But I've stopped by to tell you, you don't have to serve in the armed forces to have some limps in your life.
You don't have to serve in the Navy to have some limps in your life. All you have to do, the only criteria is have some breath in your body, be able to have God bless you to get up each and every day, and you are a candidate for some limps in your life. Do I have a witness? Because I've lived long enough to discover that limps come in all shapes and in all sizes. Limps don't always look the same, but they cause us to feel the same. Some limps are larger, some limps are smaller, some are more disguised, some are better masked. But I've stopped by to tell you, if you have a limp, you've got some pain that you have to deal with. There are limps of alcoholism. There are limps of drug addiction. There are limps of sexual perversion. There are limps of a gossiping spirit. There are limps that cause us to lie. There are limps that allow us to have foul mouths. There are limps that cause us to steal. There are limps that cause us to be selfish. There are limps that cause us to turn our noses up at other people. There are limps that cause us not to treat our brothers and sisters like they really are brothers. And just say right there, I'm coming down your row. There are limps that cause us not to trust and to love God like we are supposed to trust and to love God. I don't know what your limp is, but I've got good news for you. If you got up this morning and if you're looking at me like I'm looking at you, all of us have some limps in our lives. And the challenge is not to allow the limp to get the best of you. But is there anybody on this Tuesday night who's got a made up mind to say, I'm going to get the best of my limp? You can talk about me. You can laugh at me. You can point fingers at me. But guess what? I know I'm not by myself. You got some stuff that messes you up too. Do I have a witness in here? You can look at me like I'm crazy. You can act like you don't have no stuff in your closet, in your backyard, in your family, on your job that keeps you walking the floor at the midnight hour. But I've stopped by to tell somebody, don't you allow your limp to drive you crazy. You ought to tell the devil he is a liar. Is there anybody on this Tuesday night who's come to revival just to give the devil a black eye? Is there anybody on this Tuesday night who's got a made up mind to say, doesn't matter how much trouble you've been through, doesn't matter how much trouble you're going through right now, as long as God gave you breath this morning, as long as God is still in charge of your life, as long as the Holy Ghost is your company keeper, you've got all power in your hand. And our text tonight suggests to us that not only do we all suffer from limps, but our text tonight suggests to us that there is a blessing in our limp. Because I've lived long enough to discover that some of us want to hide our limps. We don't want people to know that we've got some stuff that make us normal. We don't want anybody to know that we have crazy ourselves. I wish I had a witness here. We don't want people to know that we just a paycheck from being broke ourselves. And particularly as church people, we want to walk around and forget and act like we have spiritual amnesia. Act as if there was no yesterday. Act as if we always been in the church. Act as if we crossed every T and dotted every I. Act as if God has never picked us up out of the muck and miry clay. Act as if God has never had to rescue us and to snatch us from some places where we know we should not. Am I talking to myself tonight? Is there anybody willing to be honest tonight that you've got some limps? Yeah, that you're not necessarily don't want to tell everybody, but at least you can talk to the Lord about it. Look at somebody and say, I may not be what I ought to be, but thanks be unto God, I am not what I used to be. By the grace of God, I've come a long way. If that's your testimony tonight, you ought to lift up your hands, throw your head back, and shout hallelujah. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. So it is in our text. He teaches us that you don't have to run. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to hide your limps. But the key to real success, the key to successful living, is to know that you and I ought to find the blessing that comes as a consequence of the limps in our lives. Story's told that Jacob,
Jacob has an encounter with God. You and I cannot encounter God and leave God the same way. You can't go home tonight and say you've been to revival and have that same attitude that you left the house with. I wish I had a witness here. There ought to be some evidence. Look at your neighbor and say evidence. There ought to be some DNA that suggests that you and I have spent some time with God. Jacob had a limp. And Jacob's limp becomes the physical evidence of his encounter with God. The limp, in fact, is yet indication of Jacob's human frailties. Now, the truth of the matter is, I could stop right there, because all of us have some human frailties. I know we want people to think we perfect. I know we want people to think we right all the time. But we've got some human frailties. We're not as perfect as we think we really are or should be. And so the limp becomes indication of Jacob's human frailties. P.S., don't you ever be ashamed of the limp in your life, because the limp in your life can be the very tool and instrument that God not only uses to be a blessing to you, but the limp in your life can be the very instrument that God uses to be a blessing to somebody else. Have you ever encountered somebody and said, if God can do it for them, then surely he can do it for me? Perhaps you know somebody whom you once discounted and put an X over. Perhaps there was somebody whom you said was never going to amount to anything. But now when you look at them, it's obvious that they've spent some time with the Lord. Cleaned up, walking right, walking straight. And you say to yourself, and perhaps even to them, if God can bless them, then surely he can bless me too. That's why I don't get afraid, I don't get upset when it appears that God is blessing people around me. In fact, I just get excited. I don't get annoyed when it looks like people around me are getting blessed. I just wait with a spirit of expectation. I don't cross my arms and I don't poke up my lips, but I just wait with my hands wide open and say, God, since you're in the neighborhood, I know you can't pass by here and forget about my particular needs. And I wonder tonight, is there anybody who's come with a spirit of expectation, looking for God to do some supernatural stuff in your life tonight? And you got a made up mind that tonight is your night for breakthrough. Tonight is your night for deliverance. God can speak in the midst of your limp situation. Here it is. Text says three things about the blessing of the limp. First thing the text indicates, Pastor Jackson, is simply this. He says, the limp exposes my frailties, but his power. The limp exposes my frailties, but his power. You don't miss your cue to shout already. Look at verse 25. Text says, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Notice, child of God, how Jacob gets the limp in the first place. You and I cannot wrestle with God. You and I cannot be intimate with God and not experience some turmoil in our lives. God exposes us for who we really are the closer we get to him.
Because the closer we get to Him, the more we realize what we are not. I wish I had a praying church tonight. And so the limp exposes my human frailties. Whenever we are stripped, whenever we are exposed, we recognize that we are absolutely nothing without God. I don't care how long you've been in the church. I don't care what your name is, what your title is. I don't care how many degrees you have. I don't care. You need to understand that there is no human relationship that can fix that. Whenever we are stripped and exposed, God will help us to understand that we are absolutely nothing without Him. But here's the good news. The good news is that when He strips us, when we get to the place that we understand we are nothing without Him, the good news is that He also helps us to understand that He's got the power, let the church say power, to speak to my frailty and to provide deliverance for my dilemma. I wish I had a witness here. The closer I get to Him, I realize what I'm not. But the closer I get to Him, the more I realize what He has for my situation. That's why you ought to make up your sanctified mind on this night. You're not going to hide your limp. You're not going to be embarrassed by your limp. But you're going to stand before God and say, "Here I am, Lord, just as sure and as I am. Fix me until my heart gets right. Fix me until my situation gets right. Fix me until my soul gets right." The truth of the matter is, tonight we wouldn't know how much power God has if we've never had any frailties. You shout the way you shout, not because things have always been good. You sing the way you sing, not because things have always been good. You pray the way you pray, preach like you preach, not because every day has been like Sunday, not because every month has been like the month of May, but because you've been in a tight situation. You and I have had our backs up against the wall. Do I have a witness tonight? And you felt like you were down yonder by yourself and can nobody hear you praying, but God reminded you, doesn't matter where you are from Him, He will pick you up. If you've never been sick, you can't appreciate being well. If you've never been outdoors, you can't appreciate being on the inside. If you've never been hungry, you really can't appreciate food on your table. But is there anybody here on this Tuesday night who can lift up your hands and say, "God, I thank you. Because when I didn't have, you provided. God, I thank you. When I didn't know, you helped me to understand. God, I thank you. When I was wandering and aimlessly, you helped provide direction in my life. God, I thank you. You helped expose my infirmities, but you helped me understand you got power." Let the church say, "He's got power." Tell somebody, "He's got power. Holy Ghost power. Transforming power. Liberating power. Power to pick you up. Power to turn you around. Power to place your feet on solid ground. He's got power." The blessing. Blessing in the limp. The limp exposes my frailties, but it also exposes His power. But not only that, he says the second blessing in the limp is that the limp exposes the pain of the past. The limp exposes the pain of the past. Whenever Look at verse 26. He says, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Like Primus Smith, Jacob could not retell this story without going back to the place that caused him perhaps the greatest pain of his life. The limp not only draws you closer to God,
But it is a reminder, let the church say reminder, of where you and I come from and also what you and I have been through. There again, you missed your cue to shout. It reminds us of where we've come from and what we have been through. And if you've been through it, it suggests that we're on the other side of it. I wish I had a witness here. The limp, it is evidence of the struggle, while at the same time, evidence of your survival. The limp is evidence of your struggle, while at the same time, evidence of your survival. That's why I stopped by tonight to tell us we ought to learn how to embrace our pain, because it is placed, when it's placed right, it can be the very tool that God uses, do I have a witness, to propel us to the places that he is preparing for us. In other words, you and I cannot get to where he's trying to take us until we first go through, get through, handle, survive, deal with where we are right now. Let me put it this way. Story is told about a young girl by the name of Jessica McClure. Jessica McClure was playing in her own backyard, grew up in West Texas, true story. While she was playing in her own backyard, Jessica McClure, unbeknownst to her, there was a huge hole that she falls into in her own backyard. Jessica McClure playing in her own backyard, unbeknown to her, there's a huge hole that she falls into. Immediately, her parents get on the phone, dial 911. Emergency personnel converge on her backyard. They are attempting to save young Jessica's life. Now, by this time, she'd been in there several hours, and they are fearful that young Jessica is going to die because her oxygen supply is nearly depleted. By this particular time, one of the emergency personnel, the chief on the scene, he says, if we're going to save her, I have to go in there and get her myself. He takes off his jacket. He takes off all the material that he has on. He immediately begins to climb inside of that hole. When he gets down into the hole, he tries to push and to pull young Jessica up from this particular hole. But he realizes that because of the way her body is positioned in the hole, he cannot get her out. He says to young Jessica, the only way that I'm going to be able to get you out of here is if I make you flexible enough to be able to push you out of this hole. And so he says to young Jessica, I'm going to have to break both of your arms. I'm going to have to break both of your legs in order to get you out of this hole. Now he realizes that the clock is ticking. Her oxygen supply is just about gone. And that's just what he does, my brothers and sisters. He breaks both of her arms. He breaks both of her legs. And as a result and consequence of him breaking her arms and breaking her legs, he is not able. He's created her flexibility enough to push her out of the hole. Come here, my brothers and sisters. Sometime God has got to break us in order to save us. You're trying to figure out why you got to go through what you're going through. It's because God's got to break you in order to save you. You ought to take a moment and give God some praise for every time he's broken you, every time he's hurt you, every time he's bent you. You ought to bless his name because he could have killed you, but he broke you in order to save you. Tell somebody he'll break you. Tell somebody he'll break you. Look at somebody and say he'll break you. Tell somebody I've been broken. Tell somebody I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. But is there anybody here tonight who can give God some praise? Because your good days outweigh your bad days. And even when you felt like complaining, you cannot complain. You've got to say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The blessing in the limp.
The limp exposes my frailties, but also his power. The limp exposes the pain of the past. Do I have a witness? Tell somebody it exposes my frailties. Tell somebody it exposes the pain of my past. But I bid you good night when I tell you finally, the limp provides a reason to express my gratitude. Do I have a witness? I said the limp provides a reason for you to express your gratitude. Look at verses 23 and 28. For the text says, he says, what is your name? And he replies and he says, my name is Jacob. He says, you shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Let the church say, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but I stop by to tell you this. Don't you be discouraged by your limps. I stop by to tell you on this Tuesday night, don't you be discouraged by your uphill battle. Do I have a witness? I've come by tonight to tell you, don't you be discouraged by the pain of this old world, because God is not finished with you yet. Have I got a witness? Somebody is a witness tonight. When God gets a hold of you, and when God gets a hold of the situation, it does not matter what has already taken place. But I believe that there is a witness here tonight that can testify that can't nobody do you like Jesus. Have I got a witness here? Somebody can testify that it does not matter how many pains and how many trials and tribulations you've had to endure. But when God shows up in a situation, and when God gets his hands on you, he can not only change the situation, but he can change us while we are in the situation. Somebody tonight ought to consider, when you consider where you've been, you can't help but realize God has changed you. When you consider what you've had to endure and what you've had to survive just to get to revival on tonight, somebody ought to give God some praise. Have I got a witness here? When you, like Jacob, have time to consider that you're still in your right mind after everything that you've been through and everything that you're going through, somebody ought to realize that God is just preparing you for great shouts. Do I have a witness here? Like Jacob, God is just getting you ready to experience a great shout. Look at somebody and say, neighbor, I can shout tonight like Jacob can shout, because I realize after everything that I've been through, when I look at my hands look new. When I look at my feet look new. I can shout tonight because I realize there's a change that has taken place in my life. I can shout tonight because I realize that I'm different. Whether you recognize it or not, I am different. And it may not be obvious to you, but it's most obvious to God. Have I got a witness here? As a matter of fact, I may have the same appearance, but I know I'm changed because my name has been changed. Have I got a witness here? If Jacob could testify tonight, Jacob would say, I know that my name has been changed. My name was Jacob, which stood for trickster, which meant deceiver, liar, bad spirit. People looked at me and talked about me. People looked at me and wondered if I were a child of God. But I'm so glad that the Lord changed my name. What did he change it to? He said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but your name will now be Israel. Have I got a witness here? And your name is now Israel, because you fought with God and you held on and did not let go until he blessed you. And I stopped by to tell you tonight that the same God that blessed Jacob and changed his name to Israel, which means one who prevails with God, he's the same God that can pick you up, the same God that can place your feet on solid ground. He's the same God that can put a U-turn in the middle of your road. Is there anybody here that can lift up your hands? Is there anybody here that can shout hallelujah? Is there anybody here that can say, I know that the Lord has been good to me? Have I got a witness? I don't mind a limp tonight, as long as the hand of God is on my life. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't you worry about your limp. I'd rather limp to heaven than to run straight to hell. Have I got a witness? Is there anybody here that can give God some praise? Is there anybody here who can testify that you've been through the storms, that you've been through the rain, that you've had some sickness and you had some pain, but through it all, I said through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Hey, I said, ain't he all right? Lift up your heads, all ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Is there anybody here tonight that can give God some praise? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how the Lord has set me free. You don't know like I know how the Lord has made the difference in my life. Say yes. Any all right? I said, any all right? If you love him tonight, you ought to stand on your feet. If you love him tonight, you ought to shout glory. If you love him tonight, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Yes. To bless his name tonight. Thank God for your limp. Don't be afraid about who's watching. Don't be afraid about who's listening to you. But if you know you've got some limps in your life and you can give God some praise that your limp didn't kill you, the circumstances did not wipe you out, you ought to lift up your voice and shout hallelujah.